Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A Fairbanks man is charged with second-degree murder in the death of his infant child. Fairbanks police spokeswoman Yumi McCulloch says 22-year-old James Jimmison brought the six-month-old girl to Fairbanks Memorial Hospital May 11th.
They met. The infant was unresponsive and was not eating. At that point, medical staff did a CAT scan, found extensive bleeding and swelling, and transported the infant to Providence.
The child died May 15th. McCulloch says police interviewed Jimmison and determined he was responsible for the baby's injuries.
The father stated that the child had fallen, the child had hit its head, and changed his story a few times. Then the father admitted that he shook the child.
Jimmison told investigators that the shaking included hitting the child's head against his own. An autopsy revealed six blunt force injuries to the infant's forehead. The Fairbanks North Star Borough's Interior Gas Utility has approved the purchase of Pentex Alaska Natural Gas Company. Meeting last night, the IGU board approved a resolution authorizing the $61 million Pentex purchase from the state's Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. ADA bought the Fairbanks Natural Gas parent company to further the Interior Energy Project, a state-backed effort to increase availability of natural gas in the North Star Borough. IGU General Manager Jomo Stewart says a second approved resolution authorizes accessing state financing to pay for Pentex and IGU expansion.
Really what the IGU, what the utility is accepting are the obligations relative to borrowing. These are the terms under which we will repay those loans.
The state financing includes low-interest loans and a $40 million grant. The Pentex price has been criticized as too high, and its purchase is complicated by an alternative Cook Inlet gas supply proposal from Siemens Corporation. Stewart says the agreement with ADA allows that option to be considered as Fairbanks' demand for gas grows.
The documents and the deal talks about how ADA will make funds available to the project and for what things, but it leaves some flexibility built in regarding the what actually ends up being built and on what timelines.
The current plan is to expand Pentex's Cook Inlet gas processing plant as the IGU customer base increases, demand that could instead be met with gas from Siemens. Under the plan approved last night, the IGU will absorb Pentex and its Fairbanks Natural Gas Distribution Company into a single nonprofit utility. About 250 people turned out last night at a meeting in Fairbanks to offer comments on a federal plan to launch an oil and gas leasing program on the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
84 people signed up to talk about the plan to open the coastal plain to oil and gas development, and by the time a half dozen of them had spoken, nearly 100 protesters showed up outside the Carlson Center to offer their public comments.
I do have hope and faith that the Alaska Natives are going to stand up and they're going to put a stop to this, because when it comes down to it, we're all going to be affected. Climate change, don't care if you're upriver or downriver. We're going to all live with the effects.
Bernadette Dementev is a Gwich'in from Fort Yukon, and she's executive director of the Gwich'in Steering Committee, which opposes development on the ecologically fragile coastal plain. Princess Desiree Johnson, the committee's former executive director, says members of the organization and the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition came to tell federal officials presiding over the meeting that oil and gas exploration will harm the porcupine caribou herd and other wildlife that provides subsistence to native peoples.
I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for that porcupine caribou herd. If it wasn't for the Sukcho, the king salmon.
Meanwhile, inside the Carlson, representatives from industry and labor and officials with the State Department of Natural Resources accentuated the positive. Kara Moriarty is executive director of the Alaska Oil and Gas Association, and she says extracting the coastal plain's hydrocarbons could bring economic benefits like those that came from development of the North Slope and construction of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System.
It goes without saying that Alaska's economy relies heavily on the oil and gas industry. One-third of all jobs in the state of Alaska can be attributed back to the oil and gas industry.
John Hobson Jr. is the mayor of Wainwright and president of the North Slope Borough, and he says his community and others in the region depend on the industry.
Oil and gas property tax is what pays for our services when it comes to police and fire and schools and public works.
But Steve Guinness, the traditional chief of the Fort Yukon-based Gwich'in tribal government, says federal officials should not proceed with developing an environmental impact statement, or EIS, for the lease sales because they haven't adequately invited public comment from residents of communities that would be most directly affected by coastal plain development.
I don't understand how the United States government and the Congress of the United States could shortcut the process to do what's going on here today.
Rhonda Pitka is chief of the village of Beaver, and she says federal officials should double the 60-day public comment period for the EIS. She says the feds should stage more meetings in Gwich'in communities and talk directly with tribal government officials with an interpreter.
Our chiefs are requesting that you come and consult with us. I'm requesting government-to-government consultation in the village of Beaver. I also sent in a letter requesting that the materials be translated to Gwich'in and that you also bring along translators.
Pitka also says the meetings should have been scheduled for later because many Gwich'in are away from their villages at fish camps preparing to harvest salmon.
Our tribal members right now are getting ready for our subsistence season. I am actually missing out on getting my grandma's fish camp ready.
But scheduling the meeting around hunting and fishing seasons can be tricky, says Joe Balash. He's a former state natural resources commissioner who now serves as an assistant secretary of the interior, and he was one of the seven federal officials presiding over the meeting.
The folks that live up on the North Slope who participate in the whaling season, you know, the spring season is more or less just concluded. There will be a fall season.
Balash says translating documents would be a new requirement that federal officials may want to consider, along with adjustments to the public comment hearings. The next scoping meeting will be held tonight in Anchorage, followed by another on Thursday in Ukiagvik. Public comments on the leasing program plan EIS are due by June 19th. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.